This is Paris, the French government shortwave station, Paris Mondial, operating in combined wavelengths of 25 meters on 24, 11,885 kilocycles, and 25 meters on 60, 11,720 kilocycles. You will hear next our news bulletin in English. This program comes to you daily at the same time, at 3 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. The non-aggression pact was signed so quickly between Germany and Soviet Russia that it provoked the greatest emotion among the political and diplomatic circles. In fact, it was signed just a few hours after Herr von Ribbentrop met Monsieur Molotov. But they also realized the whole importance of Herr Hitler's sacrifice in order to get to that result. In fact, the Führer Chancellor had to deny the whole principle of the Nazi ideology and break off the anti-Comintern pact, which had grouped Italy, Japan, Spain, and Hungary around Germany. And the fourth article of the new treaty declares none of the two partners is going to participate any group of powers organized against the other part, directly or not. Therefore, Soviet Russia couldn't join anymore the planned peace. But Germany is also renouncing with her participation to any group that was organized against Soviet Russia and gave the lie herself to the propaganda she had organized against Soviet Russia. But it is going to be rather interesting to see what the government, generally Germany gathered around her in order to fight Bolshevism, are going to do. And from Tokyo, for example, we just learned Baron Hiranuma, Japanese Prime Minister, told his government today Germany didn't tell the Japanese government anything before concluding the non-aggression pact with Soviet Russia. Herr von Ribbentrop simply told the Japanese ambassador in Berlin before leaving for Moscow, considering the situation and the Danzig problem has just created and the possibility of seeing Soviet Russia join France and Great Britain, the Third Reich had no other possibility left than concluding that pact. It is said Herr von Ribbentrop told General Oshima, Japanese ambassador in Berlin, how the German government was sorry and assured the ambassador they were still thinking of keeping and reinforcing the friendly relations with Japan in spite of the new pact with Russia. Nevertheless, Baron Hiranuma declared Japan had to look at the new situation anyway on the ground of an independent policy. The Roman political circles seem to be rather worried today at seeing the development of the international situation. The fastest conclusion of a non-aggression pact between Germany and Soviet Russia Herr von Ribbentrop's sudden return, his interview with the Reichsführer, the French military measures, and also the English ones, caused the strongest impression today. In case a conflict bursts out, Italy is going to hold her promises, and she will immediately join the partner of the Rome-Berlin Axis. Still, they do not try to hide. Italy is going to do her best in order to see the human point of view prevail from the very last minute in order to avoid a catastrophe, which would be the ruin of the actual civilization. It was told at the end of this afternoon, the Senate of Danzig has published an ordinance declaring Herr Albert Forster, head of the Danzig state and head of the Nazi party in the Free State, decided to become the leader of the state. Thus, Danzig has got a new regime, absolutely identical to the one of the Third Reich. But that doesn't mean the Anschluss of the Free State has already been done. It is but the consecration of that had been existing for long. In other words, the situation hasn't been fundamentally changed. We must insist on the fact this ordinance is not talking about any change in the relations of the Free State with Germany and Poland. But what is the League of Nations High Commissioner Danzig going to do, since he had been representing the constitutional powers in the Free State up to this day? Besides, it is too soon to consider Poland's attitude in front of the new situation. But we've got to know at first if the application of that decree is going to spoil the vital interests of Poland. The first reaction of the Polish political circles in Danzig is to declare this is nothing but a new experiment of the Interior Reich propaganda, which is going to be able to announce with the usual orchestration that the Gleichschaltung is actually complete between Danzig and the Reich. And the Führer's delegate in Danzig is actually leading the destinies of the German state of Danzig. The foreign observers of Danzig are wondering why Germany thought it was necessary to decree that nomination if he was planning to realize an Anschluss with the Reich by the most violent means. From Turkey. It is also observed that such indiscretion seems to be the characteristic of the Turkish press about the negotiations between Germany and Russia. It is generally declared that was the only possible solution Germany had left in order to get out of the impasse where she was engaged. The newspapers seem to be quite certain the master of the Reich had to give up with most of the principles which used to be leading his policy in order to get the signature of the non-aggression pact with Soviet Russia. From Hungary. It is remarked an important part of the public opinion is actually thinking Hungary should remain neutral in case a conflict bursts out in Europe. Hungary's duty, in case a war takes place between two of her friends, could consist in staying neutral, declares the ST Courier newspaper from Hungary this evening. This liberal paper thinks it is necessary to repeat the truth, since the Cross and Harrows Association decided, according to their newspaper, to organize a defile in front of the German and Italian legations on the occasion of the great success of the Nazi foreign policy. And this paper concludes, every reasonable element has got to protest against that idea. The basis of the Hungarian foreign policy consists in having friendly relations with Poland besides her friendship with Germany and Italy. Yugoslavia. The imperial policy of Yugoslavia was dominated with the opposition between Serbs and Croatians. But these two important elements of the population just decided to come to an agreement. It is quite evident the actual foreign situation rushed at the conclusion of that agreement, which strengthened the National Union of Yugoslavia. The most sensational fact is Monsieur Maček is most probably going to join the next cabinet as Vice Prime Minister. Such an important fact didn't happen in the Yugoslavian policy since 1925, when Monsieur Radić joined the Pačić cabinet. From Tokyo, the well-informed political circles of Japan think General Isagaki is going to have to resign because of the conclusion of the non-aggression pact between Germany and Soviet Russia, which is generally considered as the most serious flaw to the anti-Comintern pact. But the question is to know if the whole government is going to follow General Itagaki's resign. We haven't got any information upon that subject yet, but political circles seem to believe that solution could be very possible. Besides, the Prime Minister's consultation seem to show the cabinet's position is actually rather bad, and another cabinet could take its place. On another hand, it could have been declared in Peking, according to the Reuter agency, peace could be made in Far East. It is generally said this decision wouldn't be coming from the European situation, but because of the pact Germany has just signed with Soviet Russia. It is also believed the young colonels and young officers' Japanese group is actually losing some of its influence. The solemn declaration Mr. Chamberlain made this afternoon at the House of Commons doesn't leave the least doubt about the British determination. After he talked about the imminent danger of war, Mr. Chamberlain insisted on the similarity of the rumors coming from Germany concerning the tortures the German subjects have got to support in Poland, as they say, and those we got last year concerning the so-called worst treatment of the Sudeten Germans. He then shows the German military preparation is actually most complete and admits the Polish statesmen show the greatest calm in front of the German campaign. And he adds, Poland has always been ready and is ready to discuss and a different point of view with the German government if she could be sure these discussions could be made without any menace or violence, and with a certain confidence. Mr. Chamberlain also declared, "I want to insist in the most solemn way on the fact our defensive preparation is constituting any sort of menace. Nothing among what we have been doing and what we're actually doing is menacing the legitimate interests of Germany. We do not menace anyone by helping out some of our friends in defending against force." Then Mr. Chamberlain recalls the object of the communication the British government sent Herr Hitler was to insist once more on the position of the government in order to avoid any risk of misunderstanding. War between our two countries would be one of the greatest catastrophes which could ever happen. So, considering that fact, let the Reichsführer know, as far as we're concerned, there was no question between Poland and Germany that couldn't be solved without war. The Reichsführer's answer consists in nothing but one more affirmation of the German thesis, according to which Germany must stay free-handed. This thesis includes the most completely wrong interpretation of the British position. Personally, we are not looking for any particular position for ourselves in Europe. Herr Hitler added, "If England or any other country try to spoil the national interests of Germany, they will be responsible for the conflict." "We can't possibly admit," declared Mr. Chamberlain, "the national interests be defended only by using bloody means or the destruction of other countries' independence." And the Prime Minister added, "If all our efforts in order to find a way towards peace, and Lord knows I did my best, if our efforts fail, and if we've got to start a fight which will impose the whole humanity sufferance and misery, and no man can possibly predict the end of which, we shall not fight for the political future of a city very far away, or for a foreign country, but we shall fight for the preservation of these principles, the destruction of which couldn't tolerate any more any possibility of peace or security among the people of this world. The catastrophe didn't happen yet, and we must hope reason and intelligence will be able to triumph. Peace or war are not depending on us. I hope those who are responsible of it will think of the millions of human beings whose destiny is depending on their acts. But as far as we're concerned, we've got a whole united country. Under these most critical circumstances, I don't think any member in the Assembly will show the world we shouldn't be a united nation." And these last words, which were pronounced in a much louder voice, got the whole Assembly's acclamation.